Quite an appropriate song for what we're going to be looking at this morning. This morning we'll go back to looking at the third section of what it is to awaken the lion. According to the prophecy in the book The Sleeping Giant. Now this one may seem predictable, or at least what you would expect. It's about reading the Word of God. The prophecy itself states, I saw the lion being strengthened through being read the Word of God, the Bible. I felt God say that the charismatic church needs to discover a greater wonder for the Bible, expressing even more enthusiasm for the teaching of the Scriptures. The words used to describe amazement at Jesus' teaching in the Gospels are apparently the same words used to express wonder at his miracles. The Word of God becomes central again. The Bible being read, heard, preached, believed is essential. And we need to repent of having there are times we have a greater enthusiasm for charismatic gifts or even our ministries or doing good than we actually have for the Scriptures themselves. Now, this is not saying to decry the gifts to the slightest degree. It's simply to express the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God brings revival to the hearts of believers. It also strengthens the lion that the prophecy speaks about. Excuse me. The lion being strengthened is Jesus being revealed through the Word. I want to look at two examples from Scripture this morning, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. Both examples, and let me tell you, there are plenty more, reveal the effect the Word of God has on us. You know, even scholars of the Word need correcting and instruction. We read in Matthew's Gospel on five different occasions when Jesus was speaking to the teachers of the law, that was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were questioning him, and he forcefully asked them, have you not read? Five times he was saying this to them, have you not read? So we certainly see the emphasis that Jesus puts on reading, understanding, and obeying the Scriptures. The public reading of Scripture was a familiar scene in Jewish synagogues. Before the time of Christ, the reading of select passages of Scripture in the synagogue was actually a fixed practice, particularly Numbers and Deuteronomy, but certainly from the first five books of the Bible, often referred to as the Law of Moses. These were read regularly. Now, since Jesus practiced consistent church attendance, we may assume that he witnessed this persistent reading of the Old Testament from his youth. In Luke 4:16, it tells us he, that is Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. Likewise, Paul also acknowledged the regular preaching of God's word. In Acts chapter 15, verse 21, he said, for Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So again, you see the emphasis on the Word of God. And there was good reason for this. The Lord God placed a high priority on both the public and private reading of the Word. And the Old Testament, therefore, contains a rich heritage concerning the reading of Scripture. And it still remains the same today. It was to be read in public. It was to be read or meditated on in private by kings, families, and individuals. And when the Scriptures are read and revered, wonderful things happen. Amazing things happen. I want to look at our first Scripture, which is Nehemiah chapter 8. Verses 5 to 9. Yep, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 to 9. And it tells us Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peleah. I've been practicing these names. They instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Such was the effect, the profound effect that it had on them just to hear the word of God read out. Ezra was the scribe for the Israelites. And what's interesting is that when you look at this, that even during the time of their exile, when they had no place of their own, Ezra studied God's holy word. While others fell prey to the culture around them, and they also fell into the temptation to wander, Ezra remained focused on God. And you know, it's a good example that no matter how much society changes around us, even if other believers begin to compromise their faith, we can remain centered on God's word. Reading the word daily, meditating on it, studying it with others, and learn from godly teachers. Now, this was obviously a practice for Ezra when you see that the Levites who are listed here, I'm not going to read them all out again, but those who are listed here instructed the people in the law, and they made it clear, they gave its meaning, so that all could understand, there would be no doubt about what the word of God was saying. As a result of this, the people changed their actions, their minds, and their hearts, as they heard God's word, and they were helped to understand it. Now, those of us who know God's word must continue to find ways to speak and teach and explain it to others in ways that they can understand. And as we know, it can also be through our actions that Christ can be revealed. Something that you've heard, you know, or understood from the word of God that you say, okay, this needs to be my practice. I need to change my life for this. And when others see that, they're seeing the practice of the word of God imparted into our lives. As we read his word and surrender to the living word, that is Jesus Christ, we will see personal and corporate revival that restores life to the body of Christ. The lion will awake, the lion will be strengthened. You know, the power of God's spoken word is incredible. It can reach into the hardest heart, and as the Israelites heard and understood the scriptures, they revered his word. They wept when they heard it. They were moved to tears, weeping as they listened to the word of God. You know, today we find a Bible in almost every home, and many of them could be gathering dust. And it's sometimes one of these things that we just take for granted. We can pick it up again at any given moment. As long as it's there, sometimes you draw comfort of that. At least I've got one. But unless it is read or heard, we'll grow distant from its power to change us. And as the Israelites became aware of their sin and neglect from the law of Moses, later on we read that Ezra led the people in humble prayer and fasting. He made a confession on their behalf in order to get them back into that right place before God again. And therefore the people responded later with an outpouring of verbal repentance. They also made hard decisions to ensure their actions aligned with their intent to turn from sin. This humility, prayer, and repentance prepared the way for the new life of revival. All of this from hearing the Word of God, from reading the Scriptures. It's interesting because for me, there was something that convicted me through reading this and preparing this study. I do three different readings every morning. That's not to brag, but that's to say, because of that, there are times when I get busy, I don't actually take time to read the Word itself. And there are times where we can fall into that trap of, you know, that justifies it. I've read three different Scriptures that tie in with three different reading plans. But actually reading the Scriptures for itself is something that we need to feed us, to nurture us, to learn. So even I could try and justify, well, I'm still reading my Bible. But not like this. Simply the Scriptures being read, being heard, and allow the power of them to bring change and transformation. We know that God places this high priority on reading Scripture because He breathed their very words. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Through the Scriptures, God reveals what we are to believe, why we can believe it, and also where we need correction, and how we are to live in righteousness. It's the Word of God that can equip us for service and also save our souls. So it's essential that we realise how valuable it is to be able to read, be motivated to read this divine revelation. So moving on to our second scripture. It's actually one of my favourite stories when Jesus spoke to the two men on the road to Emmaus. This was just after his resurrection. And again, through this, we see the power of God's word. The reading is Luke chapter 24, and it's verse 25 to 32. Luke 24, verses 25 to 32. Speaking of Jesus, he said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" Again, you see the profound effect of reading, hearing, and understanding the Word of God. And in reading this particular story, you wonder why the two men were kept from recognizing Jesus. Wouldn't it have been better if they'd just seen his nail-pierced hands and recognized him immediately with their own eyes? But you see, Jesus knew that doing that would not produce true faith. He reveals that it was more important to see him in the Word than to see him in person. If the faith of the disciples was based on only them seeing Jesus physically in the flesh, then what hope would we have today? Jesus purposely restrained their eyes so that they would see him first in the Scriptures. And you know what? That places you and I on equal ground with the same opportunity as these two followers. Jesus wants all of us to see him in his word. Scripture tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And this means the more that you and I hear Jesus unveiled, if you like, expounded upon and pointed to in the scriptures, the more faith will be imparted to our hearts to believe and accept everything that God's word says. Just as we sang in that chorus, Ancient Words, it speaks of the same thing, how the power of those words impart to each of us. So could it be then that the reason many believers are still living in defeat today is that Jesus has not been unveiled, revealed in the scriptures to them? They've still to meet with the living God through his word, to be challenged and changed personally. The gospel is all about Jesus. It's not about right doing. It's about right believing. That it's Jesus that makes a difference in people's lives. We can make all the effort we want, but unless it's Jesus behind it, Jesus being revealed, that's where the real change happens. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1:16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel that has been revealed to us led us to the understanding that Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin. We did absolutely nothing to deserve it. And sometimes it just takes that realization, wow, how much does God love us, just as Ewan read out in that first scripture in John 3:16. How can we ever capture the content of the love of God unless you read his word? When he speaks about the cost, he speaks about the sacrifice, where God reveals the suffering. And it was for you and I. It was for you and I. That's what the word of God does. It speaks straight into our hearts and helps us understand the depth of God's love. Christ suffered and died that we would not perish. His resurrection displayed the death, that death no longer has a hold on those who accept Christ as our personal Saviour. What an amazing feat that God has brought to the people of this world. You know, all of this we learn through the word of God. Just like the two men on the road to Emmaus, when the scriptures are opened up, Jesus is revealed, faith is stirred, their hearts were motivated, their hearts were pounding within them as this word of God was revealed to them. And remember, at this time, they didn't even understand it was Jesus himself speaking to them. It was the words that he imparted, the truth that he expounded to them that got their attention, that weren't our hearts just burning within us, weren't our hearts stirred as a result of listening to the word of God. And that truth is still the same for today. It has not changed. It's still the same for us today. That the truth of the word of God will stir your hearts. Can you remember when you get saved? Does something stir within you? Does something touch your heart? Does something change in you? Something that was revealed to us. Now for me, it was the word of God. It was being expounded by somebody else, but it was simply the word of God and bringing the truth to help me understand about making a choice to follow Christ. Sounds dead simple, but it was as simple as that. The decision was, you know, making a choice, let me see now. That's a difficult one. Alan, would you rather go to hell or would you rather spend eternity with Christ? That was the simplicity of it that it came down to when it was revealed about making the choice. And I did make the choice that night, and I'm so grateful to God for his word, his revealed word, for understanding scripture and how it can be applied to me and you personally. What an amazing God we serve. That he should care so much for you and I and allow his son to be sacrificed in such a way that we could be set free. Hopefully we can fully comprehend the power of God's word and why the reading of it is so important to our faith. Because it doesn't just stop once you've been saved and then that's it, go and do what you want. We need this daily feeding. We need the word of God to sustain us. Because we do and we will fall away. We'll get distracted. There'll be things in this world that will make us want to compromise and say, well, that's a toughie. And then you hear the word of God. People say, no. When God says, listen to me. Hear what I'm asking of you. Forget the rest. Listen and hear his word and be directed through that. We can still make new discoveries about Christ. We can still be amazed at Jesus' teaching and rediscover enthusiasm for the word of God. Now let me tell you, when you've been a Christian a long time, there are times enthusiasm wanes. Is it just me? There are times where it's just a hard slog and you have to push yourself past that point. You have to push yourself to get back into Scripture again, to get back into reading. And you know what God does? He ignites something in you again. He restores that was lost. He brings us back to the place where we first discovered him. And it's a place he wants to keep us there, but there is a part that we need to play in order to sustain that, to come before God and his word. You know, if and when the people of God, that is his church, return to the truth, the line will be strengthened. And it begins with the line, Jesus Christ, being strengthened in you and I. That's what will change the church. It's not about us looking outside and saying, you know, if only they'd done that. It's about us personally being changed and transformed by the word of God. So for us, for this church, let's be aware that God can and will use us as we read the word of God. Don't let go of it. Hold on to it, as though it's the very thing that will help you survive in this world, because that's the truth of it. That's how dear it needs to be to each of us. And it's more than just the right thing to do. It's life-changing if we allow it. So let it be your daily bread. Let it be the thing that you start the day with, that you end the day with, or you find a gap in the middle, wherever it suits you. But the whole point is to take that time to read the word for ourselves. It's really to for us to know that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and the discoveries that we can make daily in him, to know him, to love him, and to follow him. Amen. God in his goodness has allowed this word to survive thousands of years. You think about the scrolls that were found in the desert in the 50s. Isaiah's gospel, the full gospel was found. They'd been buried there all that time. Don't you believe that was a miracle of God? That he wanted that to be discovered? Again, there was evidence that our God is true. He is the only true and living God. That's the truth of God's word. And he wants it revealed to all of us. So let's make sure we make room for him to speak into our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we just truly thank you for your grace and mercy towards us, for the word of God that we have in our hands and in our heart. And we pray, Lord God, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, that we would make new discoveries in you, that we would learn more of the love of Christ that he has for us. And Father, I would pray for anyone who does not know that love, that they would discover it. Lord, even for us in here this morning, if there's that sense of wanting to know more, knowing that there is more and needing help to discover it, Lord God, release them into that place. Help them find that place. Help them find that person that helps them come to that. Father, we want to be a church who not only serve you, but learn from you in order to serve others. So Father, be with us, encourage us, and may our hearts stir as we turn to your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just to follow up in that prayer.